أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمداً رسول الله، أشهد أن محمداً رسول الله، حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله تعالى، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته، ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. There are certain chapters and surahs of the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has dedicated to certain incidents that took place in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, the Battle of Badr, mentioned in Surah Al-Anfal. The Battle of Uhud, mentioned in Surah Ali Imran. The Battle of Tabuk, mentioned in Surah Al-Tawbah. And so on and so forth. Different places, different incidents that took place in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned certain surahs, passages in the Quran that dealt with some of those major incidents, lessons, principles, benefits that we can derive. It is one of those incidents and one of those passages of the Quran that I want to share with you today. And that is the Battle of the Trench, the Battle of Khandaq, also known as the Battle of Al-Ahzab, mentioned in surah named after this battle, Surah Al-Ahzab. This battle took place in the fifth year of the Hijrah. And it is a well-known incident, a well-known battle that took place in Islam. But briefly, to summarize and to recap, in the fifth year of the Hijrah, the confederation of armies of Arabia came and laid siege to the city of Medina. This was no longer a battle just between the Muslims and Quraysh, like in Badr, like in Uhud. This time, there were different tribes that came alongside Quraysh. You had the people of Banu Fazara and Ghatafan, and Banu Sulaym, and all of these different tribes from Najd and from the Hijaz and from the different provinces of Arabia gathered together, and they came to fight the Muslims. Some narrations in Sirah say that they were between 8 to 10,000 in the army of the disbelievers. And just to put that into context, it is said that the whole population of Medina, men, women and children, was less than that number. They came and they laid siege to the city of Medina in the month of Shawwal, in the fifth year of the Hijrah. When the Prophet ﷺ heard that they were coming, this army, this big army that was coming to destroy Medina. Their goal is to wipe out Islam, to kill the Muslims, to sack the city of Medina once and for all. The Prophet ﷺ gathered the companions as he would often do, and he made shura, consultation, asked them for their advice and their opinions. And there were different positions from amongst the companions, but one of them was from the illustrious companion Salman al-Farisi, radiallahu anhu. Salman said, O Messenger of Allah, back home in Persia, if we were in a similar situation, what we would do is dig a trench that was wide and deep in order to defend the city from attack. Medina, its geography, its topography is such that it is surrounded by mountains and lava rock. There is only one place that is practical for an attack, and that's from the eastern direction. So the Prophet ﷺ liked this idea, and he told the companions in preparation for this impending attack that they should start to dig. So they dug. The Prophet ﷺ and the companions every day would go and they would dig this deep and wide trench. And even today, if you go to Medina, there's a place in Medina where they've built a masjid called Masjid al-Khandaq, the mosque of the trench. That's part of where that trench was dug. They dug it, and they dug it before those enemies arrived. Those people came, their army, 8 to 10,000 people. The Prophet ﷺ, just to give you an idea of how difficult that situation was, the companions had to ration their food, ration their supplies, because they don't have the luxury or the comfort or the ease that they should go and deal in business, that they should go and tend to their lands and cultivate their fields. They're worried for their existence, for their lives and the lives of their families and their children. So every day they would go and they would dig, and food was rationed to the extent that the companions radiallahu anhum would take stones and rocks and they would tie them to their bellies. They would tie them because of the pangs of hunger, to suppress that feeling of hunger, to fool the body into thinking or the stomach into feeding that it was full when it was empty. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to tie two stones and two rocks, whilst others used to tie one. That is how difficult the situation became. And there are numerous incidents, numerous benefits. It is a beautiful story as to how the companions and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through those difficult days and weeks. But this isn't the time and place for that. The army of Quraysh and their confederates, they came and they laid siege to the city of Medina. And one of the things that is interesting about this battle, even though we call it a battle, there was very little actual fighting that took place. There were a few skirmishes, a few shooting of arrows, a few people that tried to break the trench from the side of Quraysh and the non-believing army. But actually, in terms of actual fighting, it was very little, because the trench did what it was meant to do. They stayed there for over 20 days and nights, laying siege to the city of Medina. And as the time progressed, because the Quraysh came with a very clear objective, thinking that it would be easy, that their numbers, their force, their might would just be a quick job. They would come and they would wipe out Medina and they would go home. But they came and they found a trench, something which the Arabs weren't even familiar with. So now after 20 days, they begin to have disputes amongst themselves. They start to have problems amongst themselves because this is not looking like it's going to be the quick and easy job that they anticipated. So after 20, 22, 23, 24 nights, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jal sends a fierce, violent wind on the camp of Quraysh and the other armies. It blows away their tents, blows away their possessions, blows away the ropes that were tying their animals. So they start to flee, and their whole camp goes into disarray. And so once they realize this, and they're already demotivated, they were already ready to go home, they decided that they would leave, that they would just simply go, and they would leave, and they would go home. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the hadith, نُصِرْتُ بِالصَّبَى وَأُهْلِكَتْ عَادٌ بِالدَّبُورِ. I was helped with the Saba. Saba is the easterly strong wind that the Prophet, that Allah Azza wa Jal sent to help the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those people left and they went back home, and Allah Azza wa Jal gave victory to the Muslims. This, in a nutshell, is what took place in the Battle of Khandaq, the Battle of the Trench. But what I want to focus on today is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Ahzab. As we said, the Quran doesn't speak about the historical story, doesn't give us a full play-by-play account. What the Quran does always is it gives to us lessons and principles, teaches you what you can learn from those incidents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, Suratul Ahzab, as he is mentioning to us one of those principles, he tells us something which is extremely interesting but also extremely important. And that is the way that the companions reacted. And Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions two reactions that they had. The first is an emotional reaction. It is a natural reaction. If you and I or anyone else was in a similar situation to what those companions were in, radiallahu anhum, they would react in the very same way. It's a natural way to react in moments of fear, moments of terror, moments when you're fearing for your life, for the lives of your family and your children. It's a natural way to react. And the second way is how then the companions dealt with those emotions once they coupled it with iman and with knowledge and with the understanding that they had of their religion and what they learned from the Quran and from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Azza wa Jal says concerning the first reaction, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ جَاءَتْكُمْ جُنُودٌ فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا وَجُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا. O you who believe, remember the favor of Allah Azza wa Jal upon you when the armies amassed against you. The armies, meaning the Confederates, they amassed against you. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا. So we sent upon them a violent wind. وَجُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. And armies that were invisible to your eyes, meaning the armies of angels that came and cast terror into the lines and into the armies of Quraysh. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا. Allah is ever watchful of that which you do. إِذْ جَاءُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ. When you saw those armies amassing from above you and from beneath you. Imagine being in the city of Medina and there's only a couple of thousand of you, 2, 3, 4,000 of you, and amongst you there's the hypocrites, as Allah mentions in this surah. The hypocrites were there every single moment of the way saying, there's no hope, there's no point fighting, there's no possible way that you can escape this time. لَا مُقَامَ لَكُمْ فَارْجِعُوا. Go home. And they themselves did that. As Allah Azza wa Jal mentions in Surah Al-Ahzab, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the munafiqun, the hypocrites, and they said, O Messenger of Allah, إِنَّ بُيُوتَنَا عَوْرَةً. Our houses are exposed. We're not going to defend the city. We have to go and look after our own dwellings, our own homes. So they left also. And all of this is taking place. And the Muslims can see these thousands of enemy soldiers amassing, gathering outside with a single purpose. And that is to kill everyone within the city of Medina. So Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارِ. So your eyes began to roll in your heads. It's an expression to show how much fear was cast into the hearts of the believers. It's a natural reaction. Anyone would be in a very similar way if they were in that situation. وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ. And Allah says that your hearts reached your throats, meaning that you are so overcome by terror, you can barely speak, you don't know where to look, you don't know how to react because of the severity of that situation. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. And you even thought ill of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because shaitan plays on those emotions. Shaitan waits for those times when there's anger or there's fear, wherever it may be, shaitan uses that as an opportunity to plant those thoughts that are unbecoming of the believer. What are those thoughts? Where's the victory of Allah that was promised? Didn't they tell us that Islam would be supreme? Didn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that he would protect us? All of those different things that are playing in their mind, because what seems to be the case now is that this is the end. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. You had those thoughts that entered your mind concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, concerning the promises that Allah made, concerning the words of Allah Azza wa Jal in the Quran, concerning the promises made by His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah says that is when the believers were truly tested. Didn't Allah Azza wa Jal tell us elsewhere in the Quran, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ إِن يُتْرَكُوا إِن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do the people think that they can just simply say we believe and they won't be tested? Doesn't Allah Azza wa Jal tell us in the Quran how often He tests the believers? In fact, Allah Azza wa Jal in the same surah, at the beginning of Surah Al-Ahzab, or towards the beginning, says, لِيَسْأَلُ اللَّهُ الصَّادِقِينَ عَنْ صِدْقِهِمْ. Allah will question the people of truth concerning their sincerity. How can that be questioned unless you are tested in your faith? هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. the companions on that day, they were tested. وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. And they were shaken, a severe shaking. And the word that is used is the same word that is used for a zelzala, for an earthquake, to show you the severity of what they were experiencing. And my words, no matter how eloquent, no one's description, no matter how descriptive, no one can put into our minds and our hearts the actual things that were taking place, the actual emotions that they were experiencing. The companions of the Prophet in that situation had different options, just like anyone in a similar situation would have different options. But the one that they chose was to remain firm. The one that they chose was to trust in Allah and to trust in the Quran and what it says, to trust in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What they chose is certainty and iman over nifaq and hypocrisy like those other people did. That is the first reaction that they had. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards the end of this passage, after he mentions a number of issues concerning the battle of Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us the way that iman benefited them, the way that they were able to overcome and temper those emotions, that reaction, not because they were brave or courageous, even though amongst them were the bravest of all people. Abu Bakr is there, Umar is there, Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum are there. You won't find many people, if anyone, braver than those individuals. But they're also humans. They also have real worries and fears like every other human. But Allah Azza wa Jal gave to them iman. And Allah Azza wa Jal gave to them knowledge. And so they realized that this was a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal, towards the end of the story of the Battle of Ahzab, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then tells us the way that they reacted. وَلَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ. When the believers saw the Confederate armies gathering, قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. They said, this is what Allah and His Messenger promised, and Allah and His Messenger ever speak the truth. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. And it only increased them in iman, it only increased them in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What's the change that took place? Look at the words of the Quran and how beautiful is the description of Allah Azza wa Jal. They knew that there was a promise that was taking place, and this is often the fault that we fall into, the mistake that we make. We focus so much on the end result, the promise that is made, the assurance that was given, the guarantee that is found in the Quran and the Sunnah, but we forget and neglect the path that leads you there. That's also mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah. The difficulty, the discipline, the patience, the trials, all of those things that are mentioned also in the Quran and the Sunnah. But one of the problems with the weakness of iman and knowledge is that you only know the headline. You only take the end result. You don't know the path that leads you there. But the companions realized. They understood because they were people of knowledge, people of understanding, people who were closely linked to the Quran and the Sunnah. They said, actually this now, what's taking place, is the promise of Allah and His Messenger. What were the munafiqeen saying? They made you a promise and it was false. Everything you found in the Quran is not true. They said certain things, look what's taking place. The believers realized, no, actually, this is the promise of Allah, the promise of His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because they told us that this would be the path that you would have to take in order to attain that result. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. So it only increased them then in iman, it only increased them then in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an amazing principle for you and I. In all of the issues that we face in our lives, in the dunya, its trials and its tribulations, all of the emotions that we have to deal with because of the different things that take place, to remember what Allah Azza wa Jal says, what the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to temper and control our reaction, our emotion with iman and with knowledge, that is something which is the way of the Muslim, and it's something which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instilled with his companions. And so if you're able to understand the Quran and the Sunnah, its principles, its methodology, its etiquettes, then in every situation you're able to focus on what Allah Azza wa Jalla wants from you and to deal with that situation in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'ani wa sunnah wa nafa'ani wa yakum bima fihima min al-ayati wal hikma. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa li jami'il muslimin min kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. This principle though is the one that is only used in times of terror or in times of fear. That principle of knowing how to react, that there is a natural reaction as a result of being human. But our religion doesn't say that you just respond in a human way. It tells you to respond in the way that is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everyone can respond in a human way. And what I mean with a natural reaction. What our religion tells us is that you have to find the way that Allah is telling you to behave in that situation. What the Prophet told us sallallahu alaihi wasallam and taught us in terms of how we react to those issues. And that's not only in times of fear, it could be in times of anger. The religion tells us how to behave in times of anger, in times of sadness, in times of grief, in times of distress, in times of fear, even in times of happiness and joy. You can't just be happy the way you want to be happy. You can't just express that joy in any which way. There is a way, an etiquette, that you behave in all of these situations. And I will conclude by mentioning an example of that also from the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Al-Qasas, in the very end, He mentions to us the story of a man by the name of Qarun from the people of Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, from Bani Israel. This was a man who was extremely wealthy and rich. Allah describes his wealth and his richness by saying that the keys to his treasures used to be carried by strong, able-bodied men. That's just the key, let alone his treasures. But when he was so overcome with his joy, as someone is when they have an unlimited amount of wealth, a filthy amount of riches that they could never, even in a number of lifetimes, ever spend, that person becomes so happy that sometimes, if it isn't tempered with that iman, with that knowledge of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that person responds in a way that they gloat and they boast and they become arrogant. And now, instead of just being happy at the grace of Allah and His blessing, they become arrogant and proud. And so His people said to him, "La tafrah." And the word that is used is the one for joy. Don't be happy. But it doesn't mean don't be happy in any which way. It means don't be happy in that way. In the way in which you boast and you gloat and you show arrogance and pride. Inna Allah la yuhibbul farihin. For Allah doesn't love that type of joy and happiness. So what should he have done instead? وَابْتَغِي فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. Use that which Allah gave to you to attain the life of the hereafter. Allah told you the way. Allah told you that when you have knowledge and iman, that is how you should be correctly, or that is the correct way to respond. That is how you use these blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever that emotion, whichever situation you're in, our religion from the rahmah of Allah azza wa jal, is that He has given us the knowledge, the etiquettes, the principles that show us how to behave and how to react. This is an issue that all of us suffer from. In different situations, in different scenarios, we respond in the way that we are, that is an instant reaction. It's just emotion. Whether it's correct or incorrect, that's something which we later realize, and then maybe we regret or we don't regret. But our religion, what Allah Azza wa Jalla praises those companions for in the Battle of the Khandaq, is they didn't wait till after the effects or after the result to then respond in the correct way. But they realized in that moment of need, in that moment, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the woman who was suffering from a grief. Someone had died in her family. So she was extremely upset, and she was expressing her discontent and upset in a way that wasn't sanctioned in the Sharia. The Prophet told us, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be patient. But she, because of her grief and distress, she didn't realize who it was. So she said, "You don't know what I'm going through. Leave me alone." So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left her. The people around her told her, "That's the Messenger of Allah you just spoke to, sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So she came to him and she said, "O Messenger of Allah, I didn't realize it was you." He said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Innama as-sabru 'inda sadmati al-ula." True patience is when calamity first strikes. Whether it was me or someone else, whether you are reminded or not reminded, true patience, the true level of iman, is that you're able to temper those reactions yourself because you have enough iman, enough knowledge of what Allah wants, what His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla that He bestows upon us iman and knowledge. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that beneficial alongside righteous action. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us from amongst those people who respond in the way that is pleasing to Him, in a way that lifts our and raises our station, increases our good deeds, and forgives and expiates our sins. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استووا اعتدلوا Strengthen your rows, fill in the gaps. الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء نحوا سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر
سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين هل أتاك حديث الغاشية وجوه يومئذ خاشعة عاملة ناصبة تصلى نارا حامية تسقى من عين آنية ليس لهم طعام إلا من ضريع لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع وجوه يومئذ ناعمة لسعيها راضية في جنة عالية لا تسمع فيها لاغية فيها عين جارية فيها سرر مرفوعة وأكواب موضوعة ونمارق مصفوفة وزرابي مبثوثة أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت
وإلى السماء كيف رفعت، وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت، وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت. فذكر إنما أنت مذكر، لست عليهم بمسيطر، إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر. إن إلينا إيابهم ثم إن علينا حسابهم.
الله سمع الله لمن حمده. الله الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters. Inshallah, Saturday lectures. This Saturday after Maghrib Salah, we will have our second lecture from the series entitled Crossroads, Tame the Flame, Managing Your Desires. This lecture will be delivered by Sheikh Jamal Abdel Nasser on managing your desires with Allah Ta'ala. Al-Bina. Alhamdulillah, as you are aware that we had a very successful launch of Al-Bina Al-Ilmi. The classes are open to everyone every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Today's Al-Bina class will be on the seerah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, delivered by Sheikh Mustafa Abu Rayyan straight after the Maghrib Salah, insha'Allah. Also, 309th GLM Scouts are marking the start of the term by a phone day tomorrow at the masjid from 2 till 5 p.m. Please come with the family and support our young people. All proceeds go to scout activities. Brothers will be in the car park and sisters will be in the community hall. Barakallahu feekum. Sorry, this one.